I thought when you say hi, you get a response. I hope you are excited to be here today. Are you excited? Can you nudge your neighbor and say, are you excited? Just nudge them and ask them, are you excited? Wait for a response. Has the person responded to you or no? I'm so glad to be here. Thank you. He's not just your pastor. He is my pastor. And I'm so privileged. You see, there are so many pastors in this land, but he is one pastor that epitomizes all pastors. He has mastered the art of humility. He has mastered the art. He's someone that one day I'll cherish. Sometimes I marvel at Nikki. I don't know what you did, but Nikki. All right, let me save my words for another day. I hope you're excited to be here today. Thank you so much, Pastor, for the opportunity. Thank you for the church for accepting me and for the support that you've been to me. I know the far that I have come, I couldn't do it on my own. I know the Lord had to raise up different people, the Aaron and the Haz, to hold your arm. Every time you're weary, there are people that came alongside. And I can vouch and say this church has been one of my foundations. This church, every time, whenever my story is read, this church will always be mentioned. Thank you so much for the opportunity. Pastor Todd, I know Pastor Tricia and Pastor Rob are not here, but these are the people that have really stood with me ever since I came here, and I'm so glad. And I hope tonight that we are just going to party in this place. Are you ready to party with me? Like those Friday nights. How many of you like the Friday nights? Let us have one Friday night today here. Just for a short time. After that, we shall go back. Amen. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to welcome your presence here. Spirit of God, Spirit of intercession, Spirit of revelation, there is nothing that we can do without your presence. Lord, Father, we decrease that you may increase. May you come and minister to each one of us in your own way, in your own understanding. Let there be a personal revelation, a personal insight in each one of us. That at the end of it, Lord, we will look to you and say, you are our God. That you are the CEO of our lives. You are the one that is in charge. May you take control of our lives. Father, we submit our will. We submit our desires to you. For we know that you are sovereign. We know that in you we have the victory. We thank you for your presence that is in this place. For your word tells us where the presence of the Lord is, there is total liberty. And Father, we claim that liberty tonight in this place. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I recall the first time I came to America. You know, all of us have those first times in everything. Sometimes it's your first time in a job, first time somewhere. But I remember my first time in America. I came in November. I didn't know about the winter. The problem is I hadn't did my research on where I was going. So sometimes ignorance is bad. You pay the price just because you don't know. In fact, the Bible says, my people perish. So sometimes we blame the devil, but sometimes it's just ignorance. You see, there are certain things we do in life, and we think it's the devil. But I know that sometimes the devil says, this time, it's not me. This time, it is you. Probably because the word begins with the letter D, the devil. It could be our decision, probably. Probably we made a different decision, or the discipline. So many times when we go through stuff, before you say the devil is a liar, first examine yourself and say, So when I came to America, it was cold. I didn't do my research. I had to go through a season. I know we all have those seasons in life, those seasons we don't like to be in. And so when I came here, It was called But Summertime Came. How many of you love the summer? Now, they made a mistake of taking us to vacation for 1 week in California, and they took us to Malibu. How many of you know Malibu? We were 3 Ugandans and 4 Malawians. And so the first time I'd been on a beach was in Malibu. I know I shared this story with some of my friends here, but I'd never seen bikinis. Tell your neighbor, bikini. And so I looked at the people at the beach and I said, go. I carried my Bible. But that day I was reading the book of Revelation and he said, oh, this is it. I looked at my friend. I said, are you okay? Sometimes you have to be your brother's keeper. And I told him, this is optical nutrition. And so when I looked at people in bikinis, I said, oh God, this is... In Uganda, you don't do that. If you go to the beach, you dress up. In America, no. It depends on which beach you go to. Some of them are... Those bikinis are big, tiny. In Malibu, they were too tiny. And one thing that I looked at the body parts. And tonight, allow me to speak to you on this subject, my butt. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, my butt. Now speak like you're a believer. Say, my butt. Oh, I cannot hear you. Say, my butt. Now, let me just make a disclaimer here. Now, the butt that I'm talking about is not B-U-T-T. The butt that I'm talking about is B-U-T. There's only one T there. Amen. I tell your neighbor, my butt. Do you need a butt? Can you throw for us that PowerPoint? There's only one PowerPoint. I want to read for you this scripture. My butt. Turn with me in the book of Psalm 66. Verses number 12. Psalm 66, verses number 12. Says, you let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through the waters. But you brought us to a place of abundancy. He says, you let men ride over our heads. We went through fire. Some of us went through the waters. But, tell your neighbor, but. You brought us out to a place of abundancy. Just allow me to speak to you from my heart. He says, you let men ride over our heads. We went through fire. Some of us had to go through the waters. Nevertheless, you brought us out to a place of abundancy. You let men. I just want to read this. Just this. We're going to spend time on this text and just break it down, interact with it. And I pray that God is going to minister to you. So you let men ride over our heads. Now, the Israelites are on a pilgrimage. They're going somewhere, but they are encountering a situation. And so they pause for a silent second, and they look at where they are, and they begin to blame someone. It says, you let men ride. That means there was an opportunity, or something did not work out, that the guys took advantage of us. And so we thought that you were going to protect us. But instead, you let them to do it. And so the Israelites here appear to blame God. If you read the previous verses, they're talking about everything that they're going through and in reference to God. And they're saying, you let men. The reason why they are trying to accuse and blame God, because he had promised them several times that he was going to be with them. How many of us have had those promises where God came and told you that he is going to be with you? No matter what you go through in life, we have a promise that I will be with you. And so the Israelites find themselves in a situation and they don't know what is happening. And The best thing to do is to turn to God and blame and say, if you had been probably here, these guys will not have done that. But probably the Lord was sleeping and doing something else, that they took us by surprise. Have you ever been in a situation in your life? I like to speak, especially for those that are married. One thing that the ladies count on their husbands is security. Isn't it? A wife will always look to her husband because she wants to be secure. Now imagine you're sleeping at night at 2 a.m. and the door is knocking and then your husband wakes you up and says, honey, you go and see who is at the door. If you are in that kind of marriage or relationship, the Bible says they will run and not grow weary. If your husband is doing that, you better run and not grow weary. Because it's supposed to be the other way around. If someone is knocking, I have to go down there. She has to stay because I'm supposed to be a source of refuge. That's what she's counting on me. But if the roles are reversed, then you have to talk to your pastor. Probably you need counseling. And this is what has happened to the children of Israel. They seem to blame God that if you had been problem with us. Reminds me of the story in the book of John chapter 11 verses 14. When Lazarus had died, Martha came to Jesus and they immediately accused Jesus and said that if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But Jesus was not the issue. But they're trying to say that you had the power to stop this situation. Because we sent a message to you 2 days ago to come, but you did not show up. But just because God has delayed doesn't mean that he is not going to intervene. You see, I came to realize that our definition of delay is based on time factor, the 24-hour clock. Because if somebody does not show up at 12 as you planned, you think he has delayed. But I realized that God created time. He is not bound by the 24-hour clock. In fact, he created this world out of nothing. There's a scripture that says, one day in the presence of the Lord is better than 1,000 years. That tells me that time is not a factor in God's intervention. Because he can intervene whenever he wants. And the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes 11:3 that in his time he makes all things beautiful. Now, not on my time, but in his time. I can hurry my miracle, but if it is not in his time, that miracle will not last. But when he comes at the right time, the story changes. And so they're blaming Jesus for coming late, but he rather comes late than not come. Because when he shows up, he's going to change the situation. And so they're right blaming God that if you had been here. And so this is what the Israelites are doing. You let men. They took advantage of us. Because in the book of Isaiah chapter 9, we call him Emmanuel. The Lord with us. And if he's going to be with us, then we are sure that he's going to protect us. But now, when you are not there, these guys took advantage of us. Now, the Amplified Version gives us some clue that the principal agent here were the men. But these men were riding on horses. And so I began to think of who are they referring to? And then I came to realize that Egypt is one of those nations that had a very strong, in fact, the introduction of horses and chariots in Egypt revolutionized their warfare. It made Egypt the superpower. In fact, the first time Solomon becomes the king in 1 Kings chapter 20, verses 17, 18, and 19, Solomon decides to hire horses from Egypt because he knew that if I have horses, then I'm going to be sure of victory. The Assyrians came in and the Babylonians. And so when you have horses during those days, then you had chances of being a victor. But the problem is that because they had horses, they placed so much trust in their horses that every time they went to victory, they thought by having horses, we are going to be victorious. That is why David makes a statement in Psalm 20, verses 17, that some trust in their horses, some trust in their chariots, but we trust in the name of the Lord. I don't know what you have put your trust in. Whatever you put your trust in fact, the Bible says in Psalm 33, 17, I think, that a horse is a vain hope of deliverance in times of battle. He says, despite all its strength, it cannot deliver. So if you have placed your hope in something other than God, then we are sure that we will not make it. Because I know some people that place their hope in education. Because we have been told that education is the key to success. But that is not the truth. Some people place their hope and their faith in money. But I've seen that money is not the answer to everything. Some people place their hope and faith in their health insurance. But that can only do so much. In fact, right now, Congress is fighting. They cannot even agree on certain things about the health insurance of the Obamacare and everything. That means there is vanity in that. It can only take you so far. And so the Israelites are saying, Lord, you let men ride over our heads. And then it goes on to say, they just didn't do that. But when they came, we had to go through our seasons in our lives that some of us had to go through the fires. It says, some of us went through the waters. Now, we know that water is a source of life. But the same water that is source of life is the same water that has killed so many people. In fact, this year, just alone in this season, we have had numerous hurricanes in this country. Some people are still recovering. The same water that gives life is the same water that has killed so many people. I don't know what waters of life you are going through. And then says that we also went through fire. Oh, I just looked at, before I came, the fire that is ravaging Northern California. How many properties and how many lives have been consumed by the fire? And this is a situation where the Israelites are finding themselves. The waters of life and the fire. David made a statement in Psalm 69, verses 1. Oh, save me, O God, for the waters have come on top of my head. The waters that sometimes we relish, the water that sometimes we desire, is the same water that some people are crying to God for deliverance. I don't know what fires and waters of life. These fires of life can be in your financial situations. Have you been in a situation in your life where, like Martha, you say, Lord, if you had been here, my house would not have been sold. If you had been here, my marriage will still be strong. Probably my children will not be acting out. But because he wasn't there, some of us threw in the towel. But the Israelites are going through a season in their lives. I remember just growing up in a war-torn zone. And every morning you wake up and you hear sounds of gunshots and bullets. And the house that we are living in has no windows, has no doors, and the roof leaks sometimes when it rains. And that is the place that we are seeking a refuge. And there is no electricity. Sometimes we are forced to go to bed at 4 p.m. because you want to be sleeping by the time darkness comes. And we are all living in fear. And you wake up in the morning, your neighbors are screaming. People are burying the dead. And that became because the war lasted for over 25 years. And some of us are in that situation. We are caught between those two. We don't know where to go. There is no place to run. The only place is you have to stay in your home and trust God that you will show yourself strong. I recall, because when I was growing up, I remember losing my parents when I was so little. And my brother, who was 17 years old, decided to take us up under his wings. And so he's the person that we look up to. And just growing up in that situation, you think that God is a million miles away. See, one thing that I've come to learn in life is just because you don't feel God does not mean he is not there. Amen. Because our feelings are deceptive. Our feelings depend on the prevailing circumstances. Because if I'm feeling okay, everything is fine. But just because I don't feel him doesn't mean he is not there. He is there. In the storm, it is difficult for you to see God. I remember when I was taking my driving test, one of the questions is, when you're driving through a foggy situation, what kind of light do you I passed that question. But if you go through those situations, it is difficult to see God in pain. Because the pain seems to be more amplified than God's presence diminishes. But if you can afford to see God in pain, then you can stand in the storm. But the problem is because what we are going through is so intense and we don't know how we are going to make it, we begin to lose hope and faith. But God is always there, even in the fires, in the waters. I talk to people, and it is when you talk to other individuals and you hear their stories. You see, some of us come to church, we can still afford to smile when we are church. Somebody asks you, how are you doing? You put a smile on your face. But as soon as they leave you, it's like you go back to your same. The spirit is like you're in your prison. Some of us find comfort when we come to church. But when we go back to our homes in those four walls, it's like the spirits of addiction come back again. It's like they don't want to let us go. We are in our prisons. But in church, we find refuge. The Bible says in Psalm 20, verse 3, that my help is in the sanctuary. When I come before you, I am sure of help. I'm sure of victory. But they are going through the fires. How many of us here have been in that situation where there are seasons in your life you felt like this fire, when will it end? Sometimes you try to put it out, but the fire just continues raging. And you're asking, when will my season come to an end? And the Israelites find themselves in the fires of life. They don't know how to get out of this situation. And do you know something? Some people go through the fires, but there are others that go through the waters. But I know some other people go through both. You think that you have finished one, and you find yourself into another. It's just like you think that you have paid all the bills. And then you remember there is one more Verizon account that you haven't paid. It's like, oh God. But you have to pay it. And you feel like you are about to break through. And then you find yourself in the similar situation. How many have been in those places? It's like, Lord, when will this come to an end? But one thing, when I read that text, it is the word but that changes. The but in that statement is the game changer. You see, the first part of the sentence does not make sense. We all don't like that first part. The fire and the waters. How many of you like to be in the first part of the sentence? But that but is being used as a conjunction. You see, if you take out the but, then that sentence becomes independent. But the but in that sentence means that these two sentences are connected. But the but comes after a negative. It is a contrast. And I know all of us here need those moments of a but. It doesn't matter. You see, when I came, I didn't know about Kim Kardashian. Pastor, praise the Lord. It is not a sin. You call her Iggy Azalea? That singer. Iggy. Now, to know them is not a sin. I haven't found that in the Bible. How many of you need a butt? Look at your neighbor and say, I need a butt. I long for that butt in my life. Because I didn't want that first part of the sentence. But you know, before you get to the second part of the sentence, the first butt is the one. To me, the first part of that sentence is better than the second one. Because it is the fires of life. See, many of us, when we go through hard situations in life, we always ask God to take us out. We always tell God to come and deliver us. But if we can change our prayer life, instead of asking God to take us out, let us ask God to give us the grace to go through the fire. Because the scripture is saying we went through the fire. They had to complete the process. Because if you don't complete the process, then you are not going to be mature. Your character is not going to be tested. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 3, my brothers and sisters, he says, count it as joy when you go through trials of many kinds. He says, these trials that we go through are doing something in you. The fires are coming to do something in you. They are not coming to obliterate anything about what God has done. They are coming to push you to your next level. I don't want to serve under a pastor whose character has not been tested. I want to serve under a leader that has been through the fire. In fact, when I look through the story of David, he had to go through a sequence when his son became the king. And David had to run away. He thought that was the end. And David, in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30, David decides to seek refuge in the Ziklag. Now, Ziklag is a Philistine territory. The same people that David was killing are the same people that are now going to house David. Have you ever, you see, I've learned in life not to take advantage of people. You don't treat people anyhow because you don't know who you will need tomorrow. Because the same people you think you're killing are the same people that you'll go to and say, can you give me some water to drink? Everyone is special in the eyes of the Lord. So David goes to Ziklag and is now seeking refuge among the people he killed. The story has now changed. Everyone that comes to you has a purpose. Even those that we think are worthless, there is something good in them. Unless you sit with them, you will never discover what they have. And so David is running, and then when he goes to Ziklag, he finds later the Philistines chase him away. And David runs back and he finds that the Amalekites had come and they have killed and taken away his two wives and every property. And the people turn against David. It's like he's going through a succession of trials. He's coming from the waters and he finds himself in the fire. It's like, oh God, when will this end? But one thing I know is that every fire has an end to it. There is no fire that stays for a long time. But the fire, instead of us putting out the fire, we have to ask the Lord, give us the grace to go through the fire. Because we have the promise. When we complete the stage, there is a reward for us. David said in Psalm 23, verse 3, that even if I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, David is saying, even if I walk through it. He's not saying, God, take me out. Give me the grace to go through it, because through the process means there is an end to it. Instead of asking God to take me out, ask God to take you through. Because when you go through all these trials, something about you is changing. People that have been tested through the fire, their character is outstanding. You don't want to use a half-baked Christian to lead you. You want somebody whose life has been tested. In fact, in Job chapter 23, verses 10, he says, but he knows the way that I take. After he has tested me, he will find me as pure as gold. In fact, in Zechariah chapter 13, verses 9, he says, a third of this group will go through the fire for the purposes of purification. I have come to learn that some fires that we go through do not come to destroy us, but to purify us. We all go through. You don't want to buy gold that has not been tested. Every gold that people cherish has been heated 7 times hotter than usual. And the price of that gold is always high. If you have been through the fire and you've completed the process, you are going to be a mature Christian. But the problem is, nobody wants that fire. Because that fire is there. It comes to either destroy us. You see, there are some people that attach everything, sometimes when you go through difficult situations, they always begin to assign reasons to it. Probably they think it is your fault. They begin to say, because you did this, this is what you're going through that. But I've come to learn, not every fire that I go through is because of what I did. But some fires come because God is trying to take me to a certain place. Instead of extinguishing the fire, we have to ask God, I know you are in the fire. I come to learn in the book of Daniel chapter 3, there is always a fourth man in the fire. Sometimes you may not see the fourth man, but he is with you in the fire. Because he says in Isaiah chapter 43 verses 2, that even if you walk through the fire, I will be with you. The fire has not come to consume you. I'm reminded of the scripture in Exodus chapter 3, that what attracted Moses to the burning bush was that the bush was on fire, but it was not being consumed. These things that we go through will not consume us. They are coming to lead us closer to God. Because the more Moses went to the burning bush, the more he was drawing closer to God. After he had seen what had happened, he met with God. These fires are coming to do something to us. But I know there is a but that comes to that sentence. But you notice before the but, there is a comma in that sentence. Let me ask you, where have you put your punctuation mark? Ask your neighbor, where have you put your punctuation mark? You know, English is not my first language. But I remember my elementary school teacher teaching us about punctuation mark. There's a difference between a comma and a period. When you put a period in this, at the end of a sentence, it means the sentence has done well. When you put a comma, it means I'm still continuing. Probably I'm taking, it's a temporary pause, but my life is not done. And so if you look at this text, if you put a period where there's a comma, that means you're going to miss the other part of the story. You see, sometimes people are going to put commas where they are not supposed to be. Do not allow people to put periods in your life when it is not the end. Because you're putting a period in the wrong place. I remember when I wrote my first essay, the teacher said, you've misplaced these punctuation marks. If you put a comma where there is before that but, if you put a period, that means you're going to miss this sentence. Make sure you know where the punctuation marks are. Because these punctuation marks speak a lot. You see, when you look at the text and begin to interact with it, you have to look at everything. Because everything in the text means a lot. And so that comma tells me that you don't have to stop here. You see, I woke up this morning and the Lord began to remind me that many people gave up so soon. We put commas, we put periods because we thought that we'll never make it. But I want to encourage us to go back and examine our lives. Do not give up yet. Just because you think the fires are consuming you, there is a but that is coming. That but is a game changer in the sentence. Because that but is what changes everything. He says, you let men. I don't know where life has put you, but I know that God is going to give us a but. Because that but is what we all need. It says, but you brought us out to a place of abundance. We never knew that we will get to that place. But when you put the but there, it gave us hope. And I want us to minister together. When the Lord reminds you of a but, that means the story is not over. He says, sometimes we have given up so soon when God is about to show forth. We have given up on miracles because of the intensity and the fire. We have surrendered destinies because we thought we'll never make it. Just because we are fighting in our marriage doesn't mean it is coming to an end. That fight is, it means that we have, there are some roles that have been misplaced. But I want to encourage us today, is the but is what we all need. Because it says, but you brought us to a place of abundance. How many of us are willing to go through the process? Even as a ministry, we ought to go through the process because it is refining and purifying us. I think of that but in my life and I say, God, if you had not come, because I recall when I gave my life to Jesus, I was raised a Roman Catholic. And life was so difficult. I remember dropping out of school several times. And I was thinking, God, I want to go to school. But money seemed so gigantic that I couldn't make it. And I could sit home and see my friends go ahead of me. But when I got chance to go to school, I would come back after 2 months because I couldn't complete the tuition. And my prayer was, God, open this door. I want to make it to the top. But you see, God hears our silent prayers. There are times when you cannot afford to lift your voice to pray. But just because you can pray within the inside of you, the groanings, the seizing, he sees every silent petitions, every tears that we make. And God was hearing my prayers. And when I came even to this state, I remember going through a period of 40 days of prayer and fasting, asking the Lord to move this mountain. That was my second week in America. And the funny thing is, in that second week was the first day I was pulled over. You see, just because you're fasting doesn't mean you won't be pulled over. And this, it happened when I was going to church in the morning. I used to walk, because the first time I came, I didn't know anybody in this state. And so I used to walk to church every Sunday, and just one way will take me 1 hour and 27 minutes. And then when I come back, because it's always lunchtime, I try to walk quickly. So it takes me 1 hour and 25 minutes. So 2 minutes cut. But one of those journeys, I was going to church Saturday morning. I was 3 blocks away from church. And then 2 police cars. It was 7 in the morning because we're going to do some service project at 8. And I was hurrying to go. And when I was about to get to the church, 2 police cars round me. One in front and one behind me. So fast. Say, hands up. Oh, I put my hand up. And then the first thing they say, we are looking for a guy like you. I said, that's the first time I knew I looked like a criminal. It's like, and they began saying, you are the one. It's like, your second week in America and you've already committed a crime. It's like, I even don't know where Walmart is. I cannot even steal. It's too early. And they began questioning me for 15 minutes. It's like, we're taking you to jail. Oh, I remember the scripture, they shall run and not grow weary. But we go through those moments in life and you're wondering, where is God? But I've come to know that when God gives you a but, there are some scriptures that use that word but to change this. I remember the scripture in Psalm 30 verses 5. It says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I don't know how long you have been weeping, but when the but comes, tell your neighbor, but. When the but comes, you are going to rejoice again. You see, Joseph turned to his brothers in Genesis 50:20. He says, you meant it for evil, but God turned it around. We all need those seasons of but. Just because you're a Christian, you see, salvation is not immunity from trials. Salvation is not going to cause us to circumvent the situations we go through. Jesus makes it so clear in John chapter 16:33. In this world, there are many tribulations. But be of good cheer. There is always that but. I don't know whether it is Kim Kardashian. I don't know Iggy Zilla. But one thing I know is there is always that season of the but that makes you to forget what happened yesterday. God is saying there is a but that is coming for somebody. I don't know whether this is working for you, but this word has worked for me. The far that I have come, I held on to this scripture and I reminded God, I may cry the whole night, but I know you are going to change the story around. I used to go days without food when I was back home. I would walk 7 miles one way just looking for lunch. And I come back again, all the food you've eaten. I didn't know what calories were. Because you walk and you're wondering why you're hungry. But when you do the math, it's like the amount of energy you spent is not equivalent to the food you ate. And so that's why I was so tiny. I didn't know why I was tiny. But it's because I was not eating enough. But one thing I've come to learn is I needed a but. When God changed my story around, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40 verses 30, it says that the weak, is like the youth may grow weak and everyone may grow strength. But they that wait upon the Lord, when that but comes, is going to wipe every tears away. We keep on waiting because the but is on its way. I don't know when the but is going to come. But one thing that I believe, that but has worked for me. I am what I am because of the God in that but. I need the God of the... I don't know how big that but is going to be. But I know when that but comes, my testimony is going to be different. How many of us here say today, Lord, I need a but. I need a but in my family. When I think of those scriptures that talk about... You see, Peter had fished the whole night, and he hadn't caught anything. And Jesus comes to him in the book of Luke chapter 5 verses 5. And tells Peter, cast your net into the depth. And Peter begins to reason with God that has toiled all night. I have caught nothing. But Peter makes a statement in verses 5. But at your word, I will cast my net again. Do not give up. We can still pray again. We can still worship again. We can still believe God one more time. We can still trust that He is going to come through. I remember I used to play soccer and I fractured both my arms. And when I went to the doctors, because I spent 3 months without any medication, and my arm began, both these bones got broken, and my arm began to waste away. The blood circulation was cut off. I remember going to school one day, and the students could not sit next to me because of the bad odor that was coming from my arm. Until one day they told me to go to the hospital. And when I went to the hospital, one of the words that the doctor said is, we have to cut your arm off to save your life. I told the doctor, give me 1 week, I'll be back. That night I went by the riverside, and I bowed my knees on the floor. And I cried. It was 7. I was the only one by the river at night. And I looked to heaven and believed God to restore my arm. I trusted Him to move. I'd read about Him. But now I wanted a personal experience. You see, there is one thing to read about God doing miracles. But when He does it for you, it changes your relationship. It is not a theory. You are a living testimony. And I began to knock at God. I said, move, heal. How can I lay my hands on the sick when I only have one arm? And God heard my prayer. After 1 month, I went back to the doctor. And he said, there is nothing we can do. You are okay. I believe if somebody tells me today that God is not a healer, I will tell you I am a living example that He showed up and healed me. Recently, I went to Carillion, and the orthopedic, I used to play soccer before I came. And when I was in New Jersey, I fractured my right foot. And for 2 years, I didn't know that I'd fractured my ankle. And when I went and they did an MRI, they found that the bone fragments and the ligaments and everything had been destroyed. And the orthopedic told me that you have arthritis. You will not do anything again. Just, we're going to treat. But last week, I ran 12 miles. This morning, I woke up and I ran 8 miles. I'm going to the doctor. I'm telling him, is there anything again? You see, our God can still heal. It is a sin for us to give up on God. See, even if the fire is so strong, I'm reminded that you can hit the fire 7 times hotter than usual. But the Bible says in Daniel chapter 3, when those 3 men came out of the fire, there was no smell of fire on them. That scripture taught me that no matter what we go through, when you finally come out, there will be no evidence that you went through it. The Bible says in Job chapter 11 verses 16, you will forget your troubles as water gone by. When God comes through, when people see you tomorrow, they will wonder whether you are the one who was through the fire. I was listening to pastor's testimony, what you went through, and everybody seems like, are you going to make it? But today when people look at you, and unless you tell them what you went through, they will not know that you've been through it. This is what God does. He changes situations around for His good. I want to encourage someone, let's keep pressing, because our God is not going to give up on us. As long as we keep plugged in, God is going to refire us. He's going to rejuvenate us, because we serve a God of a bat. Because when that bat comes, it tells me that the end is better. The beginning may not have been good, but the end is better. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, 8, that the end of the matter is better than the beginning. It doesn't matter how I begin. What counts is how I am going to end. And that sentence gives me hope. Do not give up on hope, because hope is going to bring you back again. You can give up on faith, but don't give up on hope, because faith needs hope to be activated. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, 1, that hope, faith is the substance of things hoped for. When you have hope, faith is going to come running, because faith, hope is the ingredient that attracts faith. God is the God of hope. But that bat is going to come and change the story. How many are ready for a bat? I want us to get up on our feet and let's pray together. You see, I've been in places in life where I thought, God, are you going to come through? There are days, like David said, I drenched my pillow with tears. You see, there are those seasons when we go back to our places and we cannot share our struggles with anybody. See, there are certain things that you can't share with your prayer partner. The silent petitions of your heart. And nobody else knows about it. But you are fighting. You are going through it. But I know I may have begun so bad. But that bat is going to purify. Is going to change the story around. No matter what Job went through. In Job chapter 19, verses 25, he said, but I know my Redeemer still lives. He says, but I know, no matter my tears may be so heavy, but one thing I know is my Redeemer. That bat is what brings in the confidence. Our God is looking for that bat in the inside of us. When you still and got that hope inside of you, that God, you can still show forth. I've been in those situations in life where I thought, God, when are you going to come through? I remember the week that I lost my mom. I lost 3 people at home. And when you finish burying, you're burying someone else, and you're asking God, when will this situation end? But when I look back right today, I see the hand of God. Everything that I went through were for a reason. Everything that you go through is for a reason. It doesn't mean that you may have done something wrong, but God wants to perfect you. You see, the fires come to perfect us. You see, perfection is what is going to attract God. And that is what He wants to do in the inside of us. And it doesn't matter how deep the waters are. The Bible says in Isaiah 43, 2, that even if you walk through the waters, they will not sweep over you. Friends, we have got a promise that God is still on the throne. It just takes a twinkle of an eye for Him to change our situations. Probably you've had situations in your job that your bosses seem not to work with you. Probably you have issues in your families. There is war going on. Probably people have left the church. You see, I've learned that if you walk out of me, it means that your story has ended. You see, the people that have walked out of you, you see, your destiny is not tied to people that have walked out. Because if they still needed you, they would have stayed. You see, people come in our lives for a season. When they have gone, we look to God, because He says that He is Jehovah Shammah, our praise and help. I want us to believe God right now before we conclude. You say, Lord, I want you to do something in my life. We want to move to the next level, another level of worship, another level of revelation, another level of everything. Because the Bible promises us that from glory to glory. You see, today you can take anything away from me. You may even take away my degrees. You may take away my... But just leave me with my Bible. You can take away my health insurance, but I know where to get back because I know He has worked in me. You see, there is no disease that God cannot heal. There is no dry ground that the Lord cannot flood. There is no addiction that the Lord cannot bring to an end. There is not any hindrance that God cannot assault. He has never failed, and I don't think He's going to fail today in CGC. If the same God that we served yesterday can do it, that means He can do it today. He can do it in our children. He can do it in our church. He can do it in our nation. No matter what we go through, I want to encourage us. Remember that our God still reigns. That He will show forth. It doesn't matter the pain that you have gone through. That pain has come for a reason. It doesn't matter where how much tears you cry every night. But God can say that He is going to wipe those tears. I believe in a God of the living. I believe in a God of the miraculous. Do you believe Him tonight? Do you believe that He can change your story? I just want us to pray for someone here today. It's like, God, I need a story. I want us to hold our neighbor's hands. And we're going to pray together. And I want to join my faith with someone here. You're saying, God, give me a new story. Give me a new song. It's like, Lord, You can do it again. You can do it. I wish I would pray for each one of us here today, because I believe in a God that moves mountains. He moves mountains without their knowing. You see, I woke up the other day and the Lord reminded me that He is not just the God of the valley, but He is also the God of the mountains. That He can still win in the valley, He can also win on the mountain. That He is not limited by our geography, because He is the one that created everything. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just want us to lift our voices and I just want You to talk to Your God. I just want You to tell Him, Lord, I need a battle in my life. I need a bat in my season, even at the church. I just want us to lift our voices. Just pray. Just talk to Him. If you can speak in tongues, whatever you can do. I just want us to just connect our faith together and believe that He is the same. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That the same God that answered, the same God that answered pastor's prayer is the same God that can answer our prayers today. Is the same God that moved the mountains. He can still move our mountains in the name of Jesus. Father, we want to believe that You are the God of the supernatural. You are the God that changes situations. You are the God that can heal. You are the God that promotes. He does it, for the Bible says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Father, we need that but in our lives. We need that but in our families. For we have walked for long, but Father, we believe that in You we can find rest. Father, we believe that there is no mountain that You cannot shake. For You say in the book of Zechariah that You mighty mountain standing before Zerubbabel, You will become a plain. Father, I pray that You speak to every mountain in our lives, that let them become a plain. For every battle that we are fighting, Father, You remind us that the battle belongs to You, Lord. Father, we want to commit every battle that we fight before You. We want to lay them at Your feet, because You say in Matthew chapter 11 verses 28 that come to Me those that are heavy laden and I will give you rest. Father, many of us in this place long for that rest. We want to find rest in our families. We want to find rest in our ministries. Lord, we call on You who is the same yesterday, today and forever. Father, we ask You to deliver. We ask You to break every prison gate, so God. For You said the Spirit of the Lord is upon this ministry. Father, we want to believe that if Your Spirit is here, Your word tells us that where Your presence is, there is total liberty. Father, we want to believe in the miraculous. You say in the book of Second Corinthians, from glory to glory. Father, I pray that this church is going to mount on wings as eagles, oh God. That there's going to be another level of unctioning on our pastor. There's going to be another level of influence in this ministry. That they will be very effective in this land. Father, we want to trust in You, Lord, because we know that You have never failed us. Father, we pray that You come like a rushing of a mighty wind. May You heal. May You do what no man cannot do. May You do what the government cannot do. Father, our faith is in You. For many trust in their chariots. But Father, we trust in the name of the Lord. For we know that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and they are saved. Father, today we choose to run to that name. You remind us that whoever shall call upon your name, they shall be saved. We thank you, Father. We worship you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.